So I'm Kendra Kennedy, and I'm an adult unschooler.
So I just wanted to have an idea of what are you currently working on these days? What do you do?
Well, I'm really busy right now. Currently, I work at two different places teaching individuals with visual impairments or blindness, and I also am in the process of putting the finishing touches on a script that I've been writing that I'm going to produce for a Fringe Festival here in Philadelphia in September, and working on getting my cast together and doing readings for that, and sort of touching up final draft of the script. And then I'm also in the middle of recording an album of songs that I wrote a couple years ago. And then I have my other part-time job that I work at where I pretend like I'm sick.
No wonder it's hard to get you. You're ever so busy. So that's amazing. You have produced videos in response to Good Morning America's coverage of unschooling.
Yeah.
And found them really interesting and helpful for even for you know, they're a little sarcastic, which is fun, but very you know, charming, really. I wanted you to talk a little bit about what fueled that decision to make those videos.
Well, one of my friends who was also unschooled, I met her through a camp called Not Back to School Camp when we were both teenagers. She shared the video, the Good Morning America video, with me, and she actually made a video response to it first, and after she showed it to me, she sort of encouraged me to make a video response as well, which I was really just planning on, like, leaving a comment on the message board, but then I thought that maybe making a video might be a way to reach more people, and maybe sort of express myself in a different way rather than just writing the comments out. So that was why I made it at first, and the Good Morning America video, I felt just was very one-sided, and pretty biased in presenting unschooling. So I thought it would be good, especially since they were only showing kids that were in the process of unschooling right now. I thought it was really important that people see someone who's already been there, done that, and is in the next phase of her life, and how unschooling sort of shaped who I am today, and how, although I don't think the Good Morning America video really showed that family in an unbiased light, how even some of the things that they showed that the family doing that came across as really negative, how that was part of my life too, but it didn't affect me in a negative way in the end, and that the outcome was eventually positive.
So do you think that it was intentional? Was the Good Morning America video coverage, I mean the coverage that they had, do you think it was intentional to show it as negative?
I kind of have a hard time not thinking that, just the way the video was edited, how they focused on just this one family, how, I mean, there was a point in it, I mean, it's been a long time since I've seen the video, but I do remember there being one point where the kid tried to start to answer one of the questions that she asked, and they just purposely, like, cut off this kid's answer in the video
editing. Yeah, I was just curious, like, why do you think that would be the case? Why would people feel threatened by unschooling?
Well, I think there's a couple reasons. I think, and I've kind of recently, I guess, thought about this in this light, but I think some people feel like people that think unschooling works are insulting people that went to school, that we're sort of insulting them in a way, that by me saying or by them saying that unschooling works for them better than public schooling does, it's like saying that, okay, well, you went to public school, so obviously you didn't get a good education. You're not educated. And I think some people honestly feel like unschooling is sort of attacking them by, you know, by claiming to be more successful than public schooling. So I think that is part of it. And I also think it's something that's different, something that people don't really know about. And a lot of people are, sadly, frightened of things that are different than what they know.
Right.
And it's kind of a hot topic, I guess, for parents who have children. They worry that unschooling kids is damaging to them because they don't understand it. They think that you're, you know, sheltering children. And I think a lot of people have this other, like, negative connotation of homeschooling, that it's only for really fundamentalist Christians who want to brainwash their children, and that they fear that people are doing it to prevent their children from learning other things. And that is the case for some homeschoolers, especially where I grew up in Bible Belt Kentucky. They're the only other homeschoolers that I knew where I lived, except for one of my friends, two of my friends, I guess. Every other homeschooler that was in that area was being homeschooled because their parents, you know, didn't want them to learn about evolution. And that's kind of the homeschooling that gets more press, I think, than unschooling. So people start thinking about it like it's a limiting educational experience,
right,
rather than one that's trying to get rid of limitations.
Right. And the other side I find also is, on, you know, on the flip side of that, I find that people will say, well, unschooling is for people who are rich or can afford it, who can, you know, have that leisure to take their kids here and there and expose them to all kinds of neat things, and it's not fair, right? It's not fair. So there's that side too, I find.
Yeah, and I think that's really funny to me because my parents were not wealthy. I mean, we're like middle class, very, very middle class. And my two friends that were also being homeschooled that I mentioned in my area, they were also very middle class. Their parents were not, by no means wealthy. Mm-hmm. So I think that's really funny that people think that. I mean, we grew up on like a farm. Yeah, I was raising sheep.
It was not a
glamorous existence.
Yeah, well, you know, and it's funny that you, in a previous conversation we had, you said your mother was a Rhodes Scholar, right?
She's a very, very intelligent person.
So, with such a background, you know, what were her reasons for unschooling you?
Well, you know, I'm really in awe of my mother, and I've become more so as I get older and watch her and how she lives her life, and I think she's just incredible. I feel very lazy compared to her very often because she grew up, I mean, my grandmother is very conservative, very Catholic. She told my mother, you know, she thought my mother was crazy for going to college and wanting to become, you know, something that was not a teacher, because in my grandmother's eyes, that's all a woman does. She goes off to school and she becomes a teacher, or she gets married. And so my mom just completely, like, had this total rebellion from that, where she, you know, stopped being a Catholic, and she became a Democrat, and very liberal, and then also this unschooling thing that I really don't know, like, how it even got implanted in her brain. I think she read something about, I think she read John Holt and John Taylor Gatto books and started thinking about it. And I know she was very frustrated with her own schooling experience because she felt like, you know, she got really good test scores, straight-A students. She felt like she didn't learn anything. She felt like she got out of school and had no practical real-life knowledge and couldn't even really remember a lot of the stuff that she learned at school because she felt like she learned it just for a test. And she felt like her intelligence was kind of squandered by spending so many hours in school. And she was like, well, I'm going to try this. I'm going to try this experiment with my kids and see what happens if I don't send them to school and if it's any better for them than it was for me going to school.
And obviously, you know, she must be very proud.
Oh, yeah. She is, definitely. she's busy doing her own stuff a lot of the time. She's got a million projects right now. She's working. There's a contingent of Somalians living in a town very close to her, and her newest project is helping them get integrated into the community. They've had a lot of problems getting a mosque for themselves. Mm-hmm. The city's been, the ACLU's had to get involved, and my mom's been doing all this activism work and then talking to local hospitals, helping them understand and have, but some sort of, like the hospitals there don't understand how to deal with a lot of the physical issues that the Somalians have. So she's sort of like going around and doing these seminars at hospitals, teaching them cultural compassion, which is really interesting.
Yeah, that's amazing. Is that volunteer work or is it?
Oh yeah,
a job?
She's made this like coalition. I forget what it's called. West Kentucky Citizens for Cultural Understanding or something like that, and is trying to get all these people involved. Yeah, it's just something she's totally come up with on her own. She's amazing.
So when you were growing up, did she include you in some of this activism as well?
She wasn't doing a lot of that as I was growing up. She was really focused on us. So I don't think she had as much time to devote that. She was devoted to kind of taking us to different activities and being involved with them. We rode horses, and we had like a group of kids in the area that rode horses, so she was kind of a leader of that group and did a lot of organization for that, and was involved in a lot of the stuff that we did. Mm-hmm. And I think once I moved out and my brother got older, she's now got this free time that she's not devoted to us, so she's devoted it to activism, working for the Obama campaign, doing the stuff for the Somalians in Mayfield.
Wow, so it sounds like you're following her footsteps in the sense of being ever so busy and committed to, like, just community engagement. And so I just wondered also, you said, you have a brother, is that right?
Oh, yes, yeah,
right.
My brother, Kaylin.
So, and he is in the field of science and technology, is he?
He's a computer guy, yeah.
Okay, so can you tell me a little bit, because lots of times that you'll hear people saying that, unschooled kids will go for the arts and they don't usually go for science because they don't have the background. And I want to talk a bit
about
that.
And that's just so silly to me. Like, some people go for the arts because that's what they like to do, and some people go for science because that's what they like to do. It's got nothing to do with whether or not you go to school or you don't go to school. There's plenty of kids in school that want to do theater or the arts as well. So that to me just seems like a ridiculous argument. Mm-hmm. But my brother, hates the arts and humanities. He can't sing a note, and, you know, he is not really interested in anything like that whatsoever. He's always been really science-minded. You know, he was like, my mother was kind of dismayed that he was such the typical boy, like loving cars and engineering, and I was like the typical girl wanting to go dance and be on stage and sing. She was like, come on, guys. Don't you want to do some theater, Kaylin? Don't you want to, like, do some math, Kendra? But bygones, he loves engineering. He would build little robots all the time at home, and he spent a lot of time on a computer as a kid. And kind of worried my parents for a little while. They were like, oh, he needs to, you know, maybe do something else. He's spending all this time on the computer. But then eventually my dad came home and was talking about how they were having problems with their networking stuff at work. My brother, I think, was like 13 or 14 at the time. And he was like, oh, well, let me come in. I'll fix it. My dad was like, wait, how do you know how to do that? And he was like, oh, I know. And my dad was like, all right, sure, if you think so. And so he went in and just, like, started working on the networking stuff for my dad's business and or the place where my dad works. And, then just started, like, volunteering there and working with their IT guy and eventually knew more than the IT guy did and moved on from there. And he's worked with computers ever since then. He started his own company, and I think right now he's working for Dell. He's doing something with hospitals where he's helping them enter all of the medical records digitally.
Wow.
And, like, yeah, which is a huge thing that's going on, you know, with all hospitals right now. So that's what he's doing now.
And did he go to university for that? Not for that, but did he continue his interest into college or university?
No. What he needs to do right now, I think, He's told me he's get his Windows certification, and you don't need a college degree for that. And once you have your Windows certification, then you're really employable, I guess, mm-hmm. in the computer world. Mm-hmm. And he's, no, he doesn't have, I don't even think he has his GED. I don't think so. Okay. But he hasn't needed it for any of the jobs that he's done.
So sometimes you do encounter certain needs for certification, but most of the times it looks in his case he didn't need that certification to be successful.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he would probably have a little easier time if he had his Windows certification, mm-hmm. but it's definitely not like completely necessary for him, and that's nothing that he needs any sort of like formal education for. He just needs to go and take a test somewhere. It's just really expensive, I think, so he's been trying to save up for it, and I think his plan was that if he worked for Dell for a little while, I think they pay for it. Wow. So that's the kind of what he's...
Smart kid.
So, the
other thing is that, and obviously you went to college and university, and people often wonder if it's possible to get into college and university if you haven't got a high school diploma or some kind of certification.
Right. Yeah, that was not a problem for me at all. I got into the first university that I applied for, and that was the university that I'd already decided, like, this is where I'm going. I'm not even going to, like, look anywhere else. Because they'd offered me a big scholarship. Mm. And it was, like, perfect distance, like, where it was 5 hours away from home, so not super close, but not super far away either. And they had a really good theater program, and I liked the town, so...
So how did you...
Definitely where I'm going.
Oh, okay. So how did you actually get, how did you get into the university to get that scholarship? I'm just wondering, did you prepare a portfolio or something?
Well, I got the scholarship because they have a thing, and they do this in most states, called Governor's School for the Arts. And you audition to get into it, and they have different disciplines, like theater, dance, creative writing, singing. And they accept, like, 15 people every year or something like that. Mm. And it's like a summer program where they pay your room and board and you do intensive summer classes like 7 days a week in your discipline. And you can only try out when you're a sophomore or a junior, I guess in high school or around that age. So I got into that when I was a sophomore, and they do like a special fair, for anyone who's been to Governor's School, mm-hmm. where you can come and audition for a bunch of colleges at once.
Wow.
So I got to go do that college fair through the Governor's School thing, mm-hmm. and so a bunch of schools offered me scholarships because of my audition there. And the one that I ended up going to, Stevens, that was the one I wanted to go to, and they offered me the scholarship. So I wasn't actually accepted at that point. And, you know, so I had to talk to someone in admissions and be like, okay, so I'm not actually in high school. What do you guys need from me? And she was like, well, I guess just send us your transcript, which I didn't have at that point. So she was like, send us a transcript, and you might need your GED, but we're not sure.
Mm-hmm.
So came up with a transcript. My mom helped me sort of piece together what I'd done throughout the years and sort of put it in a form, make it look like something official, trying to describe how I did math, like, okay, well, she did our taxes every year and measured a barn to determine how many hay bales went in there and did these, like, textbooks. So we sent that in, and I went ahead and took my GED while I was waiting for my acceptance, but they accepted me before I actually got my GED.
Wow, yeah.
So I did get it, but I was already accepted into the school. And on top of that, they accepted me into the honors program at the school, which I was kind of shocked by. I was like, how can you accept me into an honors program when I don't have any grades? This is so weird.
But you had talent. That was probably what they needed, right?
I guess, yeah. So, yeah, it was really easy. I mean, it was a smaller college. It was a small private college. So that might have had something to do with the ease that I was able to get in. And I don't really know, since I didn't try to go to any, like, big universities, how that would have worked for me.
Yeah. What would you say is the best thing about your unschooling life, basically, growing up unschooled?
Oh, man, everything. It was so wonderful. Like, I loved having the freedom to really pursue what I was interested in. And I think that, to me, is one of, like, the best things about it. Like, I think, and having been in a school setting, I think being cut off by the bell is such an awful thing. Like, if you're really interested in learning something, you're reading something, you're having a great discussion, it's awful to, like, have to cut that off at the hour mark. Be like, okay, we're not talking about that anymore. Go off to this other thing.
Yeah.
But I love that as a kid growing up, just being able to devote, you know, like, devote an entire week to a book, you know, if I wanted to. Like, I remember getting, I think, Kant, and just reading it straight for a week. I didn't do anything else. I just sat there and just read this book nonstop. And that was wonderful. I was able to just completely immerse myself in the writing and not ever have to, like, stop and do something else and not concentrate on that for a while.
Yeah,
So I think that's a really important thing. And the ability to be able to learn so many different things was really great. Because if I'd been in school, there was no way I would have done all the activities that I did. You know, I was taking dance twice a week, teaching dance twice a week, taking violin twice a week, and being in youth orchestra. I was in two different orchestras, so that was another 2 days a week. Wow. My acting troupe one day a week, rehearsals for shows that I was in, my horseback riding, and I started, like, a young writers club. Wow. And it was just, I was so busy. There's no way I would have been able to do all that stuff if I'd been in school. I would have had to, like, focus on just doing violin or just dance or just theater.
In the sense, you really, like, living, like, a rich and really rich life. It's almost like you're not waiting to live. You know, to when you grow up or something, you'll get to do these things. You're just doing it now. So
right. And I think that's so funny that people think that kids have to wait. It's like, no. you don't have to wait. You can kind of, I mean, you can act like an adult.
That's right.
Like an adult would do. Just follow your passions, do what you love doing, and learn. I mean, it's not like learning stops for anybody when you get out of school. Hopefully. I hope not. I mean, I'm still learning all the time. And, yeah, I think it's so silly that people think you have to, like, put off living until you're an adult.
Right, yeah. So did you ever want to go to school? Did you ever have a crazy moment where you wanted to go to school?
I went to school one day. And it wasn't because I wanted to, but I was over with a friend or I was meeting. I don't remember why I went. But I went with my friend to one class for some reason or another. Maybe she invited me, and I was like, I'm going to check it out and see what's going on here. And she was the same age as I was. And I remember going in there, and I can't remember how old I was. But they gave us a sheet of paper, and it had, like, a color by numbers, but it wasn't color by numbers. It was like, if it was a verb, you colored it red, and if it was a noun, you colored it green. So you're supposed to be learning, like, you know, verbs, nouns, adjectives, stuff like that, and making this picture. And they spent, like, half an hour on it, and I was like, this is awful. I would hate being told to do this, you know, every day. Oh, this is awful. I was very glad that I was not in that situation. So I never wanted to go to school. I think when I was a little kid, I wanted to ride the bus. And I told my mom I wanted to ride the bus, and she was like, well, if you ride the bus, you have to go to school. I was like, no, I don't want to do that. I just want to ride the bus.
Wow. As more and more people are unschooling, and we're learning that natural, kind of authentic way of learning is actually producing really amazing results. I don't want to be bragging about unschooling, but in the sense that we really are seeing that it makes there's a lot to be learned from unschooling. Do you think that the public schooling system could, is there any way that they can, you know, that public schooling can gain from unschooling?
I hope so. I feel like right now some of it's moving in the opposite direction of, like, this really big focus on standardized testing scores being, like, the huge measure of people's intelligence or how well a school is doing. And that's kind of, like, the opposite trend for me, because I think standardized test scores are completely pointless in most cases. I hope that they can. I mean, you see some sort of educational models out there, like Montessori schools, I feel like are at least entering more of the mainstream consciousness now.
Mm-hmm.
But most people think of those as being just for, like, little kids, not for like, middle school or high school age people.
Yeah.
But I think there's a lot of really good things that public school could take from unschooling, and I think it's possible for it to change if people are willing to let it change. I think people are getting a little bit disenchanted with the way the public school system is working right now.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not sure if people think that the unschooling model is something to put into schools.
Mm-hmm.
I think people are still kind of leery of trusting kids to learn, which is really sad.
Trusting kids, and I think that's that's basically what we're talking about here—the lack of trust, really, which is
mm-hmm.
what I think public schooling is about. I just think that there are models like the open source concept, where I guess that could be brought more into the schools. But I sometimes just wonder, like, everything is moving so fast in our world, and we have all this technology and the internet, and just
mm-hmm.
It just seems that schools are just so far behind in that sense. I don't know. How, if there's any way they're going to catch up.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I feel like they're so entrenched in these, like, old ideas of
mm-hmm.
learning and education. The way a lot of things, like, are still. With this new technology, there's a lot of professions that have got to catch up, like the medical profession, digitizing all their records. People still don't really know what to do with all this new technology we have.
Mm-hmm.
That's exciting and pretty awesome that there's, like, all these opportunities that nobody knows how to deal with yet, but
mm-hmm.
hopefully we will start being able to deal with. I saw a really cool video of a guy, and it wasn't supposed to be about any sort of, like, unschooling. It was supposed to be about the powers of computers, but it really spoke to me on kind of an unschooling level, where this man put a computer in a wall.
Yeah, I saw that one, yeah.
Did you see that?
Yeah.
And the kids would just, like, teach themselves.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
It was amazing.
In India, right?
Yeah.
I remember that too. That's for sure. I mean, I think that in a way, that allowing the kids to explore, that's exactly what he was doing. And I remember him saying that he just goes away. Like, he just doesn't tell them what to do, nothing. He just puts it in and leaves.
Mm-hmm. And the kids learn so much all on their own because they're curious.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think it's so funny that people think that kids don't want to learn. It's like, no, kids don't want to go to school.
mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I always get that. If they don't go to school, they'll just be so lazy and they won't do anything, right? But that's crazy.
Yeah, it's like, well, what about, I mean, maybe you think that you would do that now as an adult after
mm-hmm.
going through school, but are you as an adult lazy? Like, do you just sit around eating chips and watching television all day?
That's right.
I hope not.
Right. So, do you have any other tips for someone who really doesn't want to be in school and has to convince their parents that they can do it?
Yeah, I think that was one of the nice things, I think, that came out of me doing the videos is I had a couple kids contact me that were like, help me. I want to get out of school so bad, and my parents just don't believe me. What can I do? And I had, some good email exchanges with these kids, which was really nice.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them had some really good ideas. Like, this one girl was like, I wrote up this whole curriculum for my whole year of what I'll do if I'm not in school. And she, like, emailed me this curriculum that she'd made for herself.
Wow.
Like, this is awesome. Like, what parent couldn't look at this and be like, look at how self-motivated
mm-hmm.
this girl is. She's, like, laid out an entire year's curriculum for herself that's well-rounded, interesting, and that she'll really get a lot out of because she created it,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Like, she's picked all these things that she wants to do. I thought that was a great idea on her part.
For sure.
To really just, like, show her parents that she was organized and dedicated. And I think that that's a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to get out of school, not just focusing on how bad school is for you, but focusing on all the positive things that will happen if you're out of school. And all the positive things that you'll accomplish if you're not in a formal, institutionalized educational setting.
Radio Free School blog, Radio for All, and then transcribe it. So, thanks a lot.
Awesome. Yeah, thanks a lot.
Okay.
Let me know how it goes.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
You too.